Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. What a lovely hymn that was, wasn't it? I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Are you really doing that? Are you really trusting Jesus for every little thing in your life today? Absolutely every little thing. When you got up this morning to have your breakfast, your bowl of cereal, your scrambled eggs, your toast, your liver mush left over from yesterday's breakfast that the men's ministry did, were you trusting in the Lord Jesus to feed you? Or were you complaining that the toast was cold, the cereal was soggy, and so forth? Are you really trusting the Lord Jesus with your retirement? Worries and concerns about the economy, worries whether or not you have enough in your retirement account to take care of everything. Are you really trusting the Lord Jesus with your health as you prepare for another doctor's visit, another exam, another test, and maybe the news that isn't so good, that your health isn't so good, that there has to be some changes, some medication changes? There has to be further testing or maybe even a surgery. Are you trusting the Lord Jesus with your house and all that you have and that you own and that you are? This is such a great hymn and it's a well-known hymn, but I would dare say that most of us are probably not fully trusting the Lord Jesus like we happily just sang. We probably are preferring to trust ourselves more than anything. Because it is ourselves who goes to the grocery store to buy the food that we eat. It is ourselves who earned the money in our retirement account and we are the ones who invest and make sure that we can keep living off of that. It is ourselves who eats that wonderful, healthy diet with low cholesterol, low sugar, low salt, and everything else. It is ourselves who pays for the health insurance, who has sought out the specialist, the perfect doctor for all of our health care needs. It is ourselves who looked at Trulia to see what kind of house is perfect, just to make sure it's in the right neighborhood with the right kind of things that we want. Are we really trusting the Lord Jesus in all things? Especially when life really goes south, with pain, with suffering, with division, with sorrow all in life? Or are we trusting the Lord Jesus only when our back is up against the wall? When all of a sudden the retirement account looks like it's dwindling? When all of a sudden you can't eat certain things because your health has gone bad? When all of a sudden you've been told that you're evicted, you've lost your job, or that you don't have long to live? Suddenly, up against the corner, what do? We pray. We pray. Prayer is that wonderful conversation with God, but it seems like in many ways it's only when our rear end is in a hitch. When we can't get ourselves out of the mess that we find ourselves in. Jesus today tells us a parable about prayer. And he gives us this prayer because he says that we should always pray and not to lose heart. Now, I don't know what your thoughts about prayer really are. We often like to hang pictures in our houses or even in the church of people praying earnestly with a, light shining down on them, people piously praying with their hands piously folded, looking very obedient and nice, happy, willful Christians, praying perfectly to God. But the reality is that prayer is messy stuff. It's stuff full of division at times. It's stuff full of questions. Prayer is something at times that we don't always know how to do or what to do. And even worse, at times we have thought in our minds that we somehow have to come up with the absolute most perfect prayers for God to understand us. That if I don't get the words right, or that if I don't just concentrate enough, that somehow God is going to look at me and say, I didn't hear you. But he tells about prayer today in our New Testament reading from the Gospel of Luke, and our Old Testament reading is another perfect example of prayer as well with Jacob. I'll begin with Jacob. Jacob is finding himself with God in our Genesis reading this morning, and he's not strolling along in the garden with God, hand in hand, looking at the beauty of God's creation. He's in the dirt, wrestling with God. God on top of him, him on top of God, tumbling, rumbling, pinning each other down in a constant battle against who is going to win, who is going to get the right to speak, and who is going to get the right to win the battle, the wrestling match. And you'll notice that Jacob overcomes God. God is pinned down, and God does a very, very unkind thing to Jacob. He takes his hip and makes it go out of joint, finally to free himself of Jacob. And Jacob looks at him and says, "Tell me your name." And God doesn't respond. The only thing that God does say to him in response is that, "I am going to change your name, Jacob. I am going to now call you Israel." Israel is not just simply a name that means chosen, happy nation, people of God type of thing. Israel means the one who wrestles with God. Jacob now is called Israel because, as it says there, he had striven with God, wrestled with God in the dirt, wrestled with God, questioning who he is and what he's about to do, wrestling with God with what the future lies ahead for me. He does not give Jacob any other information other than he will be a blessing to the rest of his nation, and he carries on with his life. And then Jesus today in our gospel reading talks about prayer, and he doesn't use a nice, holy, pious image. He uses the image of a nagging woman and a judge who is corrupt. He says there is a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. We can relate to that, I'm sure. That's sort of how judges and politicians are today. Leave me alone. I want nothing to do with you, you little people out there with things. And there is no belief in God. And yet there is this woman who is nagging the judge for justice. "Give me justice," she says. "Give me justice. Give me justice," she says. And he ignores her. "Give me justice," she says. "Give me justice." It's like one of my kids with candy at the house. The more I ignore, the more that I say no to them, they simply say, "Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Please, please. I'm saying please. How many times do I have to say please? Why won't you give this to me?" And this widow is in the same way with the judge. Now, you have to keep in mind that a widow in Jesus' day and age did not have her husband to defend her and to uphold her, which she needed in that day and age. She doesn't have an attorney to go to the judge. She doesn't probably have any money to even bribe the judge, which was a very common thing in Jesus' day and age. All that she has is a nagging, persistent voice that constantly bothers the judge. "Give me justice! Give me justice! Give me justice!" And what does Jesus say? The judge finally says, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual harping. Leave me alone. Enough already, woman. Here's your justice. Be on your way. Get out of my courtroom. And Jesus says today, that is the life of prayer. Huh? This is the life of prayer? Yes, it is. It's like the nagging widow with the judge. It's like the two-year-old who wants the M&Ms and constantly gets the wrong answer in their mind. Nagging and harping and continuously praying to God for all things in all places, in all times, and in all situations, whether they are good, bad, or downright ugly. And yes, we do sing, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, but it's not this nice little concise, perfect little thing that happens in your life. Your life is full of messes and chaos and suffering. It's what happens when you live in a sin-filled, broken world. We've all been there. We will all be there in the future. We will see more of this. It's not going to get any better. And so what do we do? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. But that's not some sort of holy ritual that you're supposed to do, somehow appeasing God or somehow getting your little wish list checked off. Praying without ceasing is coming to God and asking Him for justice for you, even though you and I do not deserve justice. Because in our sin, in our unbelief, in the midst of trusting ourselves in all of these things, in the midst of doubting His word or whether or not He hears our prayers, in the midst of wondering whether or not He truly has a plan for us in our life, in the midst of even questioning whether He truly even exists, whether He's died or risen again for me and for the life of the world, we stand before God's courtroom condemned. We stand as ones who are guilty because God's law has said so. And so the opportunity to come and to pray is not simply to say to God, I have a whole bunch of complaints and arguments and things against you, and I want you to take care of these things and make my life better now. The life of prayer is simply as we say in the liturgy over and over again, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on the world. Have mercy on this country. Have mercy on the church. Have mercy on us as your people. Have mercy on my family. Have mercy on me, because everything relies solely on you. Even when things are happy and good and perfect, we cry out, Lord, have mercy. We may come to God seeking justice, but that justice is going to turn against us when we simply look at it with the law. But that is why He has sent His Son. His Son, who knew no sin, becomes sin for us and is given up for your sin, my sin, and for the life of the world. God gives us justice by giving His Son the wrath and condemnation we deserve. He sends His Son to become our justice, to become our election to God, to declare that we now have justice with God, though we don't deserve it. All is forgiven, He says. All is redeemed by my blood, He says. No matter how far you have strayed, no matter how many doubts that you have had in your life, no matter how many times you are trusting yourself rather than my Son, all is forgiven. It is paid for by the cross of His Son. The judge looks at you today in your sins, in your unbelief, in your doubts and fears, and He says to you today, not guilty. Get out of my courtroom. You are free. Free of all sin, free of all guilt, no matter what you are facing in life. The world looks at this and says, that's no way to run a courtroom. But God says, that's not how my world and my kingdom operates. The kingdom of God goes contrary to all of the world. And today, in our life of prayer and in our life of trusting in Jesus, it's not about asking for whatever we want. It's about begging and pleading for his justice, his mercy, his forgiveness. That's why he sent his son for you to die, so that you as a sinner might be justified in his son. And you'll notice here today that the question at the end of the parable is not whether the Son of God will come to the earth and find holy and pious Christians. It's not whether he's going to find Christians who know how to practice good stewardship or even nicely behaving citizens and a perfect moral society like he's looking for. What he's looking for is faith. Faith that receives, faith that trusts in the promise that God is for you, the sinner, justifying you now as a saint. Faith that looks at all of these things and does say blindly to God, I trust your Son. I trust in you for all things. I beg of your mercy, and I'm going to keep begging and pleading for your mercy in prayer. All because of what Jesus has done for you, you now have the opportunity and the privilege to pray. Will the Son of Man find faith on earth? That's what Jesus truly cares about. Faith. From faith, everything else will proceed in this life. Your good works, your mercy, your love, your retirement, your health, even your own grave has been declared nothing but a place of sleeping because of our faith in Christ. All because all that matters is what's been given to you this day, his forgiveness. And it's on that basis that faith now prays. Like the clamoring 2-year-old for candy, like the pesky, persistent widow with the judge. We come to our Father in heaven not because we have a case, but because a case has been set against us in his law. But that case has now been dismissed by the blood of Jesus. We come to our Father in prayer not on a basis of our own merits, but on solely what Christ has given and done for you this day. We claim the right to be heard in God's throne room because he has claimed you as your own, as his own in your baptism, in his Son. We come in prayer not to enrich ourselves, to make our life easier, but to seek justice against sin, death, and the devil, and the unbelieving world, and even ourselves. And it's okay at times in prayer to ask, why have you forsaken me, O God? As long as we always come back with the same words, of into your hands I commend my spirit. It's okay to come to God as he seems to ignore your prayers and ignore you at times and say to him from Scripture, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Just as long as we know that man shall not live by bread alone or himself alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Faith prays because God is so much more than a crooked judge, and you are more than a nuisance or a pesky, persistent Christian with him. You are his children. He has claimed you as his father. He is your good and gracious Father in heaven, and as we do sing happily and joyfully, we trust in him, then that also means that you can go ahead and bother him with your prayers. Be persistent. Be pesky. He loves to hear you because he has justified you for the sake of Jesus. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen.